from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
NFL season starting in just a day. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and yet a bet that we have on this show may be a little closer to getting resolved?
I don't know. Yesterday was a big day. To explain the bet, yesterday felt like maybe that was my best chance to win early.
Right. So Perloff and I have this massive bet going, and it's about the future of Dak Prescott and his contract with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think Dak Prescott is playing his final season for Dallas. This is it. It's the last ride, last dance, whatever you want to call it. I think this is going to be it for Dallas and for Dak together. Perloff thinks they're going to go on and live happily ever after and, what, sign a million-year contract or something. And what's at stake is that the loser has to go sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. And the only way you get out of it is every waffle you eat, an hour gets lopped off the time. Although in Perloff's case, he wants to do cheese omelets. So that's basically just a lot of calories and a lot of cholesterol and a lot of, you know, heartbreak and stomach aches and all of that is on the line. But we got a little bit maybe of an update, Pearl, on Dak Prescott's future.
Obviously, there's a lot of inklings that he will not sign during the season, that he'd like to do before the season.
Well, that's tomorrow.
That's the problem. So yesterday felt like a little bit of a D-Day. Our good buddy RJ Ochoa, who writes for Blogging the Boys, said, I'm going to the dry cleaner right now. If he signs within the next hour, I get full credit because that means I wasn't at my computer.
Oh.
So all of Twitter was watching for Dak yesterday. I don't know what it was,
but
because of the timing.
Yeah, the season's
like, it's getting really
here.
Close.
Yeah.
But Dak did not happen. So now everyone's like, well, what's going on here? Diana Rossini of The Athletic and has a new podcast, Scoop City, with Chase Daniel, which sounds awesome, by the way. Diana, who's as plugged in as anyone, says that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are disagreeing about the number of years for the contract. They're okay with the money, but the question is, how long of a contract do you want to sign a quarterback for? And I think it's that is a tough, tough question. That is why I'm not in the room for it, because the way she describes it seems like a very difficult situation for both sides.
Well, clearly, I mean, here we are on the doorstep of the season. It's will they, won't they, for this entire offseason, and actually even going back to last year. They got CeeDee Lamb done. That had to happen. But let's hear a little of our good friend Diana Rossini kind of talking this out. So first, let's hear Ryan Botcher, the holdup in the contract, please.
The holdup at this point, from what I understand, is about the years the Dallas Cowboys are willing to commit to.
Okay.
So really?
Years. Okay.
Well, it's assumed that Dak is going to be paid at the top of the market. The Dallas Cowboys are aware of that. It's do they want to put themselves in a position contractually that will keep Dak in Dallas longer than 2, 3, 4 years? And that's what Dak is looking for. He's looking for a long-term commitment.
Okay, Dak's looking for the long-term commitment. I understand it at this point in his career. This is very different from the last contract negotiation they had, where Dak wanted the shorter deal and the Cowboys wanted the longer deal to keep him under contract. And he's thinking, no, I want multiple bites of the apple. But things do change as you get a little bit older. There's more to the story, though, right? According to Diana, there's more tension here than just years and money. It's about Dak's ability. Let's hear Diana.
The holdup here is really the belief from the Dallas Cowboys. This is a guy who's won a lot of games, but is that enough? Winning's not enough for Jerry Jones, right? We know this. They want to do more. Stephen Jones told us that. They don't want to just be the team that wins a lot of games. They want to be the team that can play in the Super Bowl.
And that's it. I mean, that's the fundamental thing. Do you think Dak Prescott's a good regular season quarterback who comes up small in the playoffs, or do you think he's actually someone capable of winning a Super Bowl?
So, first of all, shout out to, I think I heard Diana's kids in the background, which I really appreciate.
It's close to home.
She's got little boys at home, I believe. Anyway, I think this is interesting to me because everyone assumes that the Cowboys are crazy, right? Because Jerry gets out and says 9 different bizarre things in every press conference.
Yeah.
But now I see, like, I think both sides have very, very rational takes on this. Like, it totally makes sense from Dallas' standpoint where they would be uncomfortable signing Dak Prescott for 8 years or whatever. Like, Patrick Mahomes is a 10-year deal because they don't want to do the same movie over and over and over again. They want Dak Prescott. They know. I mean, this is a perfectly, both sides have great logic here. I think it's we tend to call the Cowboys sort of eccentric or bizarre. I get this a perfectly rational debate here. I kind of lean toward the Cowboys side. I'd be nervous signing Dak Prescott for 8 years because really, do you want to do this for the entire 30s for Dak where they're at 10-7 and make the playoffs and lose? I understand what the Cowboys are doing. I totally get it.
Wait, 8 years? I mean, that's silly. Like, I know Patrick Mahomes, one of the reasons why he signed that massively long deal in theory was actually to bring the number down in terms of his average annual salary.
Right.
That was like to help out the organization. To make it manageable, you end up signing him to $500 million, but you spread it out over this really long amount of time. What does Dak want here? He wants a long-term deal, and he wants to get paid at the top of the market. He wants both? I don't know if you're getting both. You know, you can get a short-term deal and get paid at the top of the market, or you can take a longer-term deal and make it a little more team-friendly. Dak's got leverage. I don't think he's got that much. Because, again, the Cowboys, if they want to move on, Perloff, then that's just should be it, end of story. You've got to find your plan B for a quarterback. You've got to have this year be the final season. And by the way, maybe it's possible I end up winning this Waffle House bet, which would be the upset of all upsets.
What are you talking about? It's not that big of an upset.
Well, I mean, it was looking pretty bleak there for me for a minute.
Oh, yeah, the headlines that Dak might sign this
week. Yes, I thought I was going to lose this bet before the season kicked off, and it's possible I still do. But whatever you want to do with the contract, you've got to figure out that fundamental question. If you think you can win with him, and you think you would win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott, then you do the deal. If you don't, then you go and look for a different quarterback.
But wait. So you're saying, you're making it sound way too cut and dry. You're saying I could give you Dak Prescott and you're going to make the playoffs every year, but you might flame out early. You're saying no as the Cowboys?
Well, that's what Diana's saying. She's saying if they don't think that
they're willing to do 4 years, though, or 3 or 4 years. They're willing to do short-term with them. They just like, we don't want to do this forever.
But 8 years doesn't seem real to me. That Patrick Mahomes signed that when he was 24 years old, not 31, Dak Prescott. That doesn't make any sense.
I saw Josh Allen, I think, is 6 years. So the young
guys are in their 20s. It's different.
So what? I mean, he's 30. I just think it's a fair question on the Cowboys, and I understand Dak's angle too. You realize siding with the Cowboys here. I think the Cowboys have a right to say this, and if they say here's 4 years, $200 million, $200+ million, $220, like Dak should take it. Like, how much money does he need?
Well, it's not about that because he wants to get paid at the hot top of the market.
Right.
So you can't tell him, hey man, take a discount.
But I would tell him do 4 years, $220 million. Why go into this year for an extra 2 year or two?
See, to me, that none of this matters, right? None of this matters until you answer this fundamental question. And I'm curious what Cowboy fans think at 855-212-4227. The question is, can the dude win the Super Bowl? I think you've got a lot of evidence here that tells you he's not winning it with your team. Do we need 8 more years? What are we doing? We have 8 years of a good regular season team under multiple head coaches. You've had multiple different defensive coordinators. You've tried this multiple different offensive coordinators. You've done this a million ways. Dak's a good quarterback. He's good. He's maybe borderline graded. He's good. He's good. He's good slash really good. What more do you need to see? Like, this is where if I'm the Cowboy or if I'm a Cowboy fan, I get frustrated because I'm like, you know what, or get off the pot with this guy.
But why are you blaming the team? Why are you bringing me
through 4 more years of this?
Like, so now you don't even want to do 4 years with Dak Prescott.
Well, if they're still asking themselves the question, can we win with Dak Prescott, then you don't have an answer. You're lost.
What are you talking about? Do you not watch the Cowboys? Everyone's team. Like, you see Dak Prescott, you know what happens here. Like, they're not lost. They are being cold and calculating here. They're doing exactly what every other team and every fan would do. Be like, you know what? Dak's a good quarterback. We'll keep him here. We just don't want to commit too long. The Cowboys are acting perfectly rational here.
Don't say it's about a Super Bowl then, because that's...
Well, how is that not about a Super Bowl, though? Because they think Dak is close, but not there. It's not like cut and dry. It's not black and white, like Dak either can or can't. Dak's a good quarterback. He gives them a certain chance. Like, there's definitely, like, a gray area here. Maggie gray area, if you will.
Maggie gray area, I'll take it. If it was me running the team, I'd eliminate the gray area.
I don't think it's so black and white that, like, yes, I think the Cowboys are acting perfectly rational here. Like, of course they want him for 3 or 4 years at the top of the market. Of course they don't want him for 8 years or 6 or 7 years at the top market. Like, that's what they should be doing. They're acting exactly as a team every other team would and should. Like, I don't know. Like,
it's about the Super Bowl then.
Well, what do you mean don't say it's about the Super Bowl? Then, like, Dak for the next 3 or 4 years might give you the best chance of going to the Super Bowl.
But he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
And you've had really good teams. So to say he gives you a chance, well, anyone gives you a chance. Kirk Cousins gives you a chance. Anyone who's got 2 legs and 2 arms in theory gives you a chance. You have the institutional knowledge. This dude's in your building every day.
You paid him lots of money. You don't need institutional knowledge.
Do you want him to be the quarterback or not? To me, actually, it is very black and white. But there's no institutional knowledge.
Everyone knows what Dak is. He's the longest tenured starter. Everyone knows what Dak is.
Why does he fail in the playoffs?
I have no idea.
But they should know that.
What do you mean they should know that? That doesn't even make any sense. So we know what Dak is. You're telling me the best thing, if the Cowboys want to make the Super Bowl, signing Dak for 2 or 3 years, say at $52 million a year, $55 million a year, that's probably the best chance they'll have in 2 or 3 years. If they don't re-sign Dak, then they're going to have to do some kind of rebuilding process. And the question is, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to thread that needle. And that makes sense.
You've already thread the needle once, right?
Now you get rid of Dak.
Well, if you want to win a Super Bowl and you're not sure yet, if you're the Cowboys, that you can win with Dak Prescott, then what are you doing paying him at the top of the market? Like, that doesn't actually make a lot of sense to me. And if he might go on and win somewhere else, and that's a risk you've got to take. Because if you can't answer the fundamental question, this is a guy who's in your building every day. You know him better than anybody. Why does he fail in the biggest games? Is it his fault? Is it not his fault? Do you blame him for it? Do you not? You've got to have that answer after a decade. Because if not, then you're just doing more of the same. And then when I accuse Jerry Jones and the Cowboys of not actually being about winning, just being about relevant, then I get shrapnel but you're showing me, if you don't think Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl, you're showing me you don't actually want to care about winning a Super Bowl if you're willing to give him $60 million for the next 4 years.
Well, I think if you look at this immediate window coming up here, Jerry's 80 years old.
Yeah.
Within 3 years, I think they want to do a 3-year deal with Dak. And that makes so much sense.
Okay.
I mean,
haven't answered my question yet. Do you think he can win a Super Bowl? You know, or do you just want to be a 12-win team? Then just be a 12-win team. And if that's good enough for you, because it hasn't been good enough to get their coach off the hot seat, and it hasn't been good enough to slam dunk re-sign Dak Prescott, you've got to make a decision if you're the Cowboys. It's a tough one. I don't envy them, and I don't see a good plan B. Like, it's not obvious who their next quarterback would be. But if you can't answer, if you're still asking yourself, can this guy win a Super Bowl, and you're about to give him more money, like, you've got to be steadfast, and you've got to feel good about your answer
before
you pay him again.
Paying Dak 3 years at 55, that gives them their best chance to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. Letting him go, that kind of tanks him for probably 4 years.
Well, it depends who's your next guy. You know, is there a way? Again, you're leaving a lot up to chance. You're leaving a lot up to the market. You know, the draft, whatever. However, you're going to do this. It's not ideal, but
Well, the way the offseason played out, every quarterback signed, so nobody's coming here. I mean, there's no free agency got gutted this offseason because every quarterback resigned.
Yeah.
Now you're like, okay, the draft. The odds of the Cowboys getting the top 10 for a draft or even as high as the Broncos did to get Bo Nix last year seem minuscule. So now it's a different story now. There's just nothing out there. The fact that the Rams seem to be settled into Stafford, like there's just nothing going on next year. So I think they're looking at the market and saying, Dak gives us our best chance for the short term.
Right.
That's just... You make it so like what, you know, they have to decide. The reality is these things are fluid. Like it's a calculus here. They have to make a calculation. Like what gives us our best chance right now today? And the reality is a 3-year deal for a ton of money with Dak would be awesome. Yeah. Like they would be high-fiving each other.
It doesn't look like that's possible. So last clip from Diana here, Diana Rossini with some intel on what's going on with the Cowboys is Dak has the leverage here. So the Cowboys might want this short-term deal, with pay him a lot for a few amount of years, but he's the guy who holds the cards.
It's all just in his court. He's literally just sitting there with his hands behind his head, which is, we've seen a lot of his press conferences, and he's as cool and calm as they come.
Because
he knows. He knows he's going to get what he needs to get, no matter what how the situation plays out. Either he stays in Dallas, and they wind up coming to an agreement here over the next few days, or he hits free agency, and we have a number of teams that would be interested.
All right, so Diana's saying there'd be a number of teams in his free agency, even if we can't see exactly who they are now. There's definitely going to be options out there for Dak Prescott. So he really does hold the leverage, and you want to know how this is going to go? Like every other Cowboys negotiation, the Cowboys are going to lose this negotiation if they end up wanting him back. They're going to pay a lot. They're going to give him what he wants, and they're going to lose this negotiation, just like they lost the negotiation to him a couple of years ago when he had them after they applied the franchise tag. And then he got hurt, and then they really needed him, and he got what he wanted. So,
but that was a pretty good contract for the Cowboys.
But Dak got what he wanted. Cowboys wanted more years, and Dak wanted fewer years. Which is why here we are. And he got the no franchise tag again, the clause put in his contract that they can't franchise him again. He got stuff he wanted.
Yeah, but he might have, definitely. But I feel like that was kind of a win-win. Like, the Cowboys, that's the thing. Like, you see the Cowboys keep losing these things or whatever, like, I don't know. They're still a pretty good team. Like, are they really doing that bad? What's the Cowboys' mistake here? I think, honestly, the Cowboys are probably steadily, conservatively doing the right thing again and again and again, and we just tear them apart. Like, what's the mistake they made this offseason?
Well, they definitely, if they're going to keep Dak, they should have extended him so his cap number came down. If they actually wanted to put more playmakers or add more to the roster, they ended up paying CeeDee Lamb after Justin Jefferson got paid. They could have gotten to the market earlier on that. We still have nothing on Micah.
Right. Well, first of all, why would they re-sign Mike after three years?
Maybe they don't have to. Yeah, but you're missteps. It's CeeDee just Lamb, the price keeps going up and up.
CeeDee Lamb, they got in right at the market. I mean, that's like saying everybody who paid their wide receiver, they paid CeeDee Lamb the market rate. I mean, that's what CeeDee Lamb was going to get paid. And also, you don't know that Dak would have taken that deal in March. I mean, maybe Dak is holding this up more than the Cowboys. I'm sure that they probably floated out an offer to his agent. I'm sure it was under market.
Right.
But
if it was a good one, he might be signed.
I don't think that... I think that this win and lose, like the Cowboys, we kill them, and yet they have a pretty good roster. Like, for example, like they let Tyron Smith go, their left tackle, but they seem to be smart. Like
offensive line, I'm never worried about.
I mean, maybe
those guys.
The way I think people describe them is that they're one of the dumbest franchises in the league.
Definitely not.
See, this Dak Prescott is a perfect example. Like, I feel like they're doing like smart, prudent things. Like, they're like, we want to make this short term because we're worried about the long term future of this franchise. They seem to do the right thing again and again and again, and yet we act like they're Cowboys. You know, no pun intended. Off coming out of the bar, drunkenly spending or driving, like. I get it. If I'm the Cowboys, I get everything Jerry's doing. It's actually not that crazy.
I'm not accusing them of making like rash decisions. I'm accusing them of not making a decision in time. Like you've got to the fact that they're dragging out this Prescott thing, or that it is dragging out because, according to Diana, they're not even sure if he could win a Super Bowl. Like, to me, you've got to have an answer on that. Because it's only the whole franchise, guys. Like, it's the whole franchise. It's everything weighing on this decision. The CeeDee Lamb decision, that was going to happen. He's wearing 88. They were going to pay him. It's not that. The whole future, the current right now, the current status in the short-term future is all about Prescott. And you're not sure.
Well, just like, to put
I don't love that as leadership.
Just to put you on the record then, if you're the Cowboys, you would move on.
If you don't think he can win, if you've seen enough in eight years, what is it, 8 years, 9 years, however long he's been there, if you haven't seen enough now and you don't think he can win, then what are you doing? Because you're not a team that's, you know, just happy to be in the mix. Yeah. You're a team that's winning the division. Mm-hmm. You're a team that should be a Super Bowl contender. And if you're just happy being a regular season team, then okay. But if you actually are serious about winning a Super Bowl and you don't think your quarterback can do it, then you're twiddling your thumbs.
Or you could say they have one more year to try out Dak Prescott to win a Super Bowl and let's see what happens this year. It's not a bad position.
Well, it looks like that's what they're doing. And that's why I know. The Waffle House bet will remain on hold.
I also think one thing, I don't think if he goes into the season without a contract and doesn't do anything during the season, I still feel good next year. If you look at Dak Prescott's market in free agency, what's the perfect spot? A team that's going to have salary cap space, talent around him, a good coaching staff that he knows their offense. Dallas.
Well, is Mike McCarthy still there?
I think so. I mean, why would Jerry doesn't fire anybody? But even so, like Dallas seems like the most attractive free agent destination for Dak Prescott. Why Tampa?
I'm just saying.
I mean, you going to go with Todd Bowles? I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I think Dallas is a great spot for Dak Prescott if he gets a free agency. I think anybody would want that spot. Why would you not want to be there? You get all the ad deals and your team is awesome. Your O-line is stacked. You have CeeDee Lamb. What do you have in Tampa Bay? Mike Evans is like 40. I just think that Dallas will be, even if they get it, just do what they always do. Pay him in the offseason. Give him $65 million next year. You know it's happening, Maggie. That's why I'm not nervous about this bet. You know that you stated
so many
it. Like, they always do the most expensive option.
Yeah, they do. It's like they overpay. They don't overpay, but it feels like they could be getting the market earlier on this stuff, but they want to see the leaves fall off the tree, according to Jerry.
Yeah, I kind of get it with Dak, though. I'm sick of it for Jerry. Like, Jerry is, you know, he says some crazy things, but this all makes sense. He's actually acting perfectly rational, and we're acting like he is just a 82-year-old Arkansas oil billionaire who's playing with his team like it's a fantasy team. I think secretly the Cowboys are doing the smart thing here.
Yeah, the one hang-up is Dak ain't winning anything.
I don't know. I mean, they're 12-5 3 years in a row. The NFC sure seems like it's got some issues this year.
I know, but it feels like as long as the San Francisco 49ers are on this earth, they're not winning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I want my money back if the 49ers just go out there and roll over everybody, because they've had more news this offseason than any team in the league. Obviously, they've had gone back and forth with contracts. I saw a meme out there that's going around on the Niners that EJ would understand. I don't totally understand it, but it's a picture of Spider-Man with half his jersey burned. It's a dramatic moment, and that is what the San Francisco 49ers fan experience has been. They've been worn and tattered by this long offseason. But what if all that stuff just doesn't matter, and they have Trent Williams in-house now, Brandon Ayuk's there, Ricky Pearsall will be back in a month. What if they just come out and just like the same old team? Then what? Tell me, Maggie, I'm going to be mad at you.
Why?
Because We've been talking about the 49ers all summer. Like, this has to amount to some losses. Otherwise, this is going to be incredibly frustrating to me, because no team has put their fan base through more of a ringer in the offseason than the 49ers.
Well, I mean, think of how last season ended. Like, you're coming off of this Super Bowl loss in overtime. It's already painful. And then you go into the season and everyone wants to get paid like you just won the Super Bowl, but you just lost the Super Bowl. So,
I disagree with that characterization. Everyone wants to get paid what they're worth because they're awesome players.
Right.
Didn't matter if they won the Super Bowl. Trent Williams, the best left tackle in football. Didn't matter if he won or lost. There's not a guy here who's not acting rationally. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, he's had 1,300 yards last year. If Jalen Waddle's going to make $28 million, he wants $28
million. Oh, no.
Individually makes sense. So I kind of think, like, what were the Niners supposed to do? It's time to pay up. They're really talented.
They are. I guess, I think maybe to the contract negotiations feel a little different when you're not coming off of a loss like that, because we saw Debo do this, and we saw Nick Bosa do this, and we've seen other guys have these sort of maybe somewhat contentious holdouts. Not as weird as Brandon Ayuk, but a little bit contentious, and it didn't feel like it had the weight on it. And, you know,
but what difference? Because Bosa's coming off of a good year. Like, they had a great year.
No, because I think there's weight on the organization. Like, I just think it's impossible not to be feeling just A, lots of pressure, B, lots of disappointment. I mean, we saw this with your Philadelphia Eagles and that, you know, story that came out on ESPN. You get off to a 10-1 start and everyone's moping around because they're only remembering what happened in the Super Bowl and how close they came to beating the Chiefs. And I just think this is a real human aspect of this, that it's hard to get the juices back up and get over the disappointment. You know, Brock Purdy's talked about how he wants to change. He talked about watching the film after his wedding and how painful it was because how close they were, you know? And again, like, I think there's a reason for these, the Super Bowl loser doesn't go back to the Super Bowl, because everything just gets heightened. And to be honest, a lot of these 49ers players have gone through this twice now in a gut-wrenching kind of way.
Yeah.
And so
probably go through it three times. But one thing about every year, like this, they've been done this every year, like the Jaquiski Tart drop against the Rams.
Right.
Like,
NFC Championship game.
I mean, there's never been a game that's more won. They had they'd beaten the Rams into the ground. And then
The Super Bowl against the Chiefs was won too.
But actually there was a little less time left in the Rams game, and they really should have won that Rams game. But they bounced right back and had another good season.
That's true.
Then they go into Philly, probably the more talented team, and completely lay an egg. So I understand what you're saying. Like, why is this different? Because it was the Super Bowl. I feel like they keep on losing in dramatic fashion. I mean, your Bills went 4 in a row and lost. So, like, they were never gutted by the Super Bowl loss. They came back out there and were scrappy and made it to the next Super Bowl again and again. I think they have a lot more Super Bowl losses in them.
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. 855-212-4227. I would know. It's hard, man. It's really hard. Let's hear a little from Trent Williams, can we? Trent Williams gets a new deal yesterday. Finally, this holdout is over. It's going to be, I think, about $5 million or so in fines, I think, when all is said and done. But he gets $86 million over 3 years with $48 million guaranteed. Here's Trent Williams. Ryan, let's hear cut three on how the new deal came together.
We had conversations. I didn't obviously I didn't think that it would get this drawn out, but you know, it's a tough business, and this was a very intricate contract. I wouldn't call it a dispute, but restructure. So it took time to get to where both sides feel like we've it's a win-win.
Okay, more from Williams. He tries not to think about all the fines that he did amass, and has an interesting comparison for this contract negotiation.
Nah, I try not to think about it. You know, it's kind of, it's one of the things where you kind of know you're going to leverage, you're going, it's what, you know, for better, lack of a better word, it's kind of war. We both sides going to lose a little blood, but, you know, wave the white flag at the end, we both signed a little peace treaty, and we good.
I mean, that's, it's an interesting analogy to feel like you were at war with the organization that you are such an integral part of.
I'm excited about this. You, because of something you said earlier in the week.
What's that?
I don't remember if it was on air. You brought up that Andrew Whitworth, everyone thought he was done at 35. Then 35 to 40, he was a killer at left tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now that he's there for two or three years, I feel like Trent Williams is going to be really good till he's 38. As you famously said, it's an offensive lineman. You just push guys around.
That up. You're going to be in trouble with the offensive lineman.
Yeah, but the reality is, whoa, man. They just got Trent Williams in there for another 3 years. I think the Niners window is bigger than people think. Like, wow, you got Trent Williams. Like, this is a day to celebrate, not to worry about how long it took. If he gets injured in week one, that'd be a bummer. But hey, you know what? He'll be back next year.
There is a Brandon Ayuk side to this that we will get to in just a moment. But Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us this morning. What's up, Bogish?
Good morning. Guys, your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. It's good work if you can get it. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever clinching a playoff spot without playing yesterday. The franchise's seven-year drought, which tied for the longest in league history, ending when the Chicago Sky lost in Vegas 90-71. Angel Reese's team has dropped seven in a row despite 12 points and 16 boards. The Phoenix Mercury also clinched a spot courtesy of Chicago losing and their 74-66 win over the Atlanta Dream. Kalia Copper had 28 for the Mercury. The Kansas City Royal free fall continued last night.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on and drilled high and deep down the left field line. Hooking. Fair ball. Home run.
Wow.
Brian Rocchio with a two-run home run.
On Guardians Radio, Rocchio drove in four in a 7-1 Cleveland win. KC now on a season-worst seven-game skid. Since tying those Guardians for first in the Central last Tuesday, they have given back 5.5 games in the standings. Royals starter Brady Singer looking to their vets for some guidance.
We got a lot of them in here. You know, a lot of those veterans have obviously gone through a full season of ups and downs of baseball, so they got a lot of knowledge, and it's good to have those guys in here to, you know, talk us through this.
KC does still have a 4.5 game lead on the Red Sox and Tigers for the last wild card spot. That 0-2 start has officially dropped Florida State out of the AP Top 25. The Noles, the third team since 89, to go from the preseason top 10 to unranked in the first poll. The list again this week begins with Georgia and Ohio State, now followed by Texas, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Oregon goes from third to seventh after a tight win over FCS Idaho.
Did you see USC? 10 spots.
Yeah.
23 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
Perloff, do you believe?
I believe they won their first game.
10 spots is a big jump. That was definitely one of the big headlines coming out of the poll yesterday.
Yeah, and let's see it against the Big Ten. I know you were putting them in the Big Ten title game.
They did against the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Kelly in week one. There's some great high school teams that could be Brian Kelly in week one.
Francis Tiafoe beat Grigor Dimitrov to set up the first All-American men's semifinal at the U.S. Open since 2005. He'll face Taylor Fritz on Friday. And finally, Tom Brady, the best QB ever, top-notch businessman, and all-around good guy. Former Bucks teammate Sean Murphy Bunting telling Goat Farm Sports that TB12 had two lockers in Tampa Bay.
And the locker next to him, that's where you put all the stuff that you need him to sign. And so
that's love.
You put it in there, and then
that's a fun
at the end of the day, Tom usually would just You know what I mean? It'll be signed.
It was kind of understood, like, Arvis, you're the GOAT, bro. Sign us for
Yeah, he knew, like, he knew
it. And Murphy Bunting will never forget it.
That's how good of a teammate he was. Like, obviously, you know what I mean? If you were in that position, you're in that position, I'm in that position, you get a little, like, I don't feel like doing all this today, but, I mean, it was never a complaint from him, bro. Every time somebody needed something from him, signed ball, signed jersey, picture, like, whatever, he was doing it. I've only seen that with Tom.
Can you imagine the ego boost that Tom Brady must have got on a daily basis from having grown men, professional athletes, ask him to sign stuff for them?
Oh, I don't even think he noticed it anymore. But I what I did like about this story, you know, Brady, I'm glad he didn't gatekeep his autographs and stuff, because they go for a lot of money. If he wanted to, he could probably be like, hey, guys, sorry, I got a deal with Fanatics or whatever, and I can't really get this for you. And the fact that he was just willy-nilly signing stuff, knowing it's going to end up like in Cousin Ed's closet or whatever. Mm. I kind of like this from Brady. He knows what he is. It's I like when people acknowledge, listen, I'm a great quarterback. I'm a great athlete. People want a piece of me, and I'm not going to hold that against my teammates.
One of my favorite stories like this, remember when Aaron Rodgers, when he was his last game as a Packer, the Lions rookie Jameson Williams came up to him and said, can I have your jersey? And Aaron Rodgers was like, no. I think it's hard to turn out like other players. Like another player comes up to you, then I think there's a lot of pressure. But to say no, I think like Jameson
like, Williams, I'm going to keep this one, young guy.
Yeah. Can I have your game-worn jersey?
That
is such
Lambo.
An interesting point. I wonder if the Tom Brady market is a little depressed because there's so many things out there on eBay.
Like he'll sign anything.
Like I think that whole game is about rarity, right? So I don't know. Tom Brady, of course, who is basically business partners with Michael Rubin at this point, probably gets advice on this. I agree with you, though. He doesn't even notice. Like, his ego can't be any higher. I disagree with you a little bit there, Pat. I think those rings did plenty. I don't think the left tackle coming up and saying, can I have your cleats?
It's funny because I would think the rarity would also be a thing, right? It's like we're talking about the Honus Wagner cards and, like, why things, you know, Ken Griffey rookie cards and stuff, why are they so valuable? But then we're at Fanatics Fest, and it's $500 for a picture with Peyton Manning. I'm like, Peyton Manning, that's still $500. I get it. He's a 5-time MVP. He's Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning also seems, not that he's accessible, but he's around. He's in the public eye quite
a
bit. I was surprised it was that much for a photo with him, and Eli, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, is that because you want to put that photo on your wall. That's not to resell, is it? Like, why would you have your son take a picture with? So that's pretty cool. Imagine if you're a giant Peyton Manning fan and you have a picture on your wall of your son
and Peyton
Manning.
And you get the story of meeting him and all that.
I guess that.
It's worth $500.
Still a little pricey. But
that's a lot. I
think that's the price of social media. To me, it's you can now go and take that picture, put it on Instagram, and get your 300, 400 likes, the most likes you'll probably ever have on your Instagram. I think that's all that is. Because to me, like, you're right. Like, I don't know why a picture would cost that much. But now so many people want to get those likes. They want to get that engagement on their own social media. So now you can charge as much for the more memorabilia as you could for the picture, just so you can have the Instagram moment or your, you know, TikTok moment of whatever you want with Eli Manning.
Well, you know, but even without social media, I mean, that used to, like, and I'm going to go back in our day, but like that used to be one of the most amazing things if you would like actually happen to encounter an athlete and get a photo or an autograph.
Yeah.
And it felt very like not serendipitous if you're doing it at the game, mm-hmm. but it's like, wow, I once met Dr. J in an airport when I was like 9.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, that's so cool. Never thought to for mass consumption. It was just like you have your own, you just have it for yourself. You know?
Also, too, I totally get what you're saying about social media, but also I think you show your phone to people. Hey, I got this photo with so-and-so. Want to see it on my phone? It's like something to show people at a bar or something.
Bogus,
so it's very valuable to me.
Your son, Jake, is how old?
Almost 11.
Almost 11. He's really in his sports fandom right now.
Oh, yeah.
As a dad, how much would you pay for him to get a picture with his favorite athlete?
Not a lot. I kind of don't believe in that. Like, I'd rather have the luck of walking into somebody. Right. Or, you know, to be honest, like, not that I'm in anywhere near important, but, like, I do have a couple of different, like, paths to meeting these people. Like, I'd rather write a couple of emails and get them, like, you know, like, into a clubhouse, on the field for, like, batting practice, something like that, than just go somewhere and give something for a picture that, I mean, it's never going to mean anything to the person, to the athlete.
Right.
But I'd rather be slightly more organic than just like going to a store and buying a picture with somebody.
Also, you know, since I've seen Jake play baseball, I think that money,
you're not going to miss a chance to do this, huh?
That money is better invested in education, because maybe instead of a picture with an athlete, get a math tutor, because he's going to need to be smart.
Do I need to go to one of your daughter's meets and pray for her to sink? Like, how does this, how do I get retribution for this?
I'm just saying, like, Jake's path to success is probably not on the athletic field. It's probably through the classroom. He's a smart kid. That was a compliment.
Yeah, it was a compliment. Perloff taking out the 10-year-old Little League team and repeatedly.
I just think, yeah. Wait, is that, are you mad at that?
I don't think he's thrilled.
Yeah, that one seemed gratuitous. That didn't seem necessary.
I'm just saying, if he's like, Dad, can you spend $150 on a Francisco Lindor photo instead? You know, I don't know. Buy him
a book. An accounting lesson? Like, what do you want him to do? Go CPA?
Yeah, my kids are. By the way, I can say this because, and my kids are not listening. They are terrible athletes. They got the Perloff genes. They can't run. They can't jump. They're barely coordinated. So listen. Yeah.
Nice. Screw this kid.
Kid.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Maggie thinks he was born 3 days ago. You think he's an adult worthy of criticism.
Honestly, the day that Jake came in and I saw that he was, I just saw how little a child. He's 10. He's a child. You're making fun of the Little League team. It's the worst. Yeah,
just have bogus motivation for Jake. Poster with Perloff's picture and a quote, "This kid sucks."
No, by the way, can I say?
He's the nicest and sweetest
kid. Can I say one thing? I've seen Jake's team. Jake's the Jose Canseco of this team. I mean, they're bad. Jake's pretty good. They're bad. And you can't even argue with that. The game I saw, the performance was not great, Bogus.
It was not a good day.
They tried to move Jake. They had so many vulnerabilities. Like, can Jake play two positions? They were so bad. Anyway, I'm saying that.
Can he pitch and then catch at the same time?
He's at the bat. He's got to do every single position. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I don't know if you get brownie points or some kind of points, Perloff, for being self-aware. I think it's actually going to go the opposite way with Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk of the 49ers finally signed his contract a couple days ago. He got the big deal, the 4 years, the $120 million, what was it, $75, $77 million guaranteed, whatever it was. Here's Ayuk yesterday speaking with reporters, admitting that this deal probably could have been signed sooner.
I think, I'm not going to lie, I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. But, yeah, it was like that from I'm not going to say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think 49er fans are going to appreciate that level of honesty, Perloff. I don't. And I think if Brandon Ayuk either gets out of the gate slowly, soft tissue injuries, not as explosive, a big drop, something like that, I think fans are going to be ticked off because this all could have been resolved much, much sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple kinds of holdouts, but one of them is I don't want to practice. That's Trent Williams is 100%. I'm not going out there. I'm 35 years old. I'm too old. These knees are just too stiff to practice in training camp. I'm going to hold out. But I think you're right. I think this does not look great. I'm not sure the 49ers have time to focus on Brandon Ayuk. I think there's so much going on there that this will get lost. I don't see him getting any real blowback on this for some reason. Also, too, he did sort of temper his quote there saying, listen, this was, we were in good shape the whole time. I don't think he's saying like, aha, I got them. I just missed 3 weeks of training camp. Did you hear him bragging about missing camp? That's not the vibe I got.
No. It wasn't the brag of missing camp. I think he's admitting like, man, if I could have done it over again, I think it was that same deal was on the table August 12th and I didn't take it until basically September and I should have just signed. And I could have saved maybe everybody a little bit of agony. And I think there's another part of this too. Trent Williams said it yesterday that after what happened with Ricky Pearsall, where he gets robbed and shot in broad daylight in this really scary situation that thank God he's going to recover from and something tragic didn't happen. I wonder if there was like a, what are we doing? I mean, Trent Williams said that he saw the Ricky Pearsall and it made him want to come back to camp. Mm. Because or made it come back to the team because it's like, I got to be there for my teammates. Maybe it puts a little bit in perspective for everybody. Like, what are we quibbling over here? A couple $100,000 or even $1 million when there's bigger things going on in the world, I guess. Right. I don't know.
It's funny you say that. Like, what are we quibbling over? A couple hundred thousand dollars? And we're all like, man, I would do anything for a couple hundred
of
thousand.
Course.
But in this world, you're right. That's really interesting. That's a good point. I think that there's a lot to be said for getting in camp and saving a little money for the team. Now, I know I don't want to be pro-team, but like Tom Brady took just like $1 million less or $1.5 million less.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's earning power.
Yeah, but Ayuk.
Once Tom Brady won the first Super Bowl, let alone the second one, let alone the third one, you're in a very, that's a luxury to be able to take less because he knows he'll earn money for the rest of his life.
But Ayuk definitely took less here. According to all the reports, he was offered more by the Patriots and said, you know, I do think there's something to be said for winning and all that. I think there's value in that. I think there's also, and I think this applies to Dak Prescott, who we were talking about earlier, there's value for staying in the same team. You become more marketable in your post-career. Like, there's a lot to gain here for BA to stay in San Francisco.
He wanted to stay, I think. I do. I wasn't sure the team actually wanted him. I think that he did want to stay. He wanted the cake and eat it, too. I want the money, and I want to be on a contender. And, you know, him now saying, geez, I made this more difficult at the end, I don't think helps his cause if he gets off to a slow start. I think fans are already kind of ticked off at how this went and kind of a little frustrated. Yeah. And they could pile on him. Rich is in California, wants to talk about the 49ers. Good morning, Rich.
Yeah, this has been a marvelous excursion in how the sausage gets made.
Yeah, isn't it?
The fact of the matter is, I wonder what would have happened if Bill Walsh had been running the 49ers.
He would have cut
everybody. There seems to be a tremendous amount of histrionics and off-field drama, and Brandon Ayuk is not the first. There's a nice long list in front of them. They're setting a rather poor, and the point is, at some point, they're going to have to put their foot down, and I don't care who that player is, the next guy after that is going to feel severely put on.
Rich, I don't think so. I appreciate your points, and you're making good ones, but I just am going to disagree. Every 49er who has held out, held in, wanted a new contract, they all got them, and Purdy's going to get paid. Debo got paid.
Yeah,
somehow, got paid.
Somebody they have like $60 million left this year.
They just restructured Debo. Ayuk got paid. Yeah. Trent Williams got what he wanted. Everyone's getting what they want.
You say it like that's a bad thing. Like
No, it's not. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't think the next guy is going to feel it. Like, what would Bill Walsh do? Like, I don't know. They seem to be re-signing everybody. By the way, Kyle Shanahan is not the modern-day Bill Walsh, but he's a respected top three head coach in the league right now.
Yeah, well, Walsh kicked Montana out the door for Steve Young, so he was hardcore.
That is true.
But it was a much different financial league back then.
That's true, as well.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.